Blog Talk Radio.
Everything you do or say, yeah, yeah. Got to live with it every day.
just like you fight for your sister.
If you knew that somebody dissed her,
how you gonna care for your daughter?
Turn around and talk bad about her mama.
Say where you listen to your auntie.
Never interrupt while she speaks.
Make your words sweet like candy,
as if you were talking to your granny. Yeah.
If you really love her, then
say so.
And if you really need her, then
say so.
You love the way she sings.
Say so.
You love the way she
speaks. Say so.
When you need some good conversation.
Love me. Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode through Knowledge Radio, place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born a Lot. We are here on our Prosperity Thursday episode, and we are honored to have our Miss Trill Alchemist, founder and master energy healer, who has dedicated over 10 years of her existence to healing arts and sciences of our people. We speak of none other than divine and righteous sister, Empress, Sister Rabe is in the building, family. Their phone number to call is 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some, present to others our warrior sister in the building, Sister Rabe.
Peace.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Peace. I'm well. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Thank you for having me on the show. You trying to be like me?
Yeah.
Get like me. What does that look like? I'm interested to know. No, but thank you for having me on tonight.
I got to give a shout out to the Sister Tiffany. You know, I was looking for some family members to come on the platform. She was like, "You ain't had on Sister Rabe, you better get your life together." And I was like, "Okay."
Thank you.
Let me get it together, get my life together. And, you know, I saw the wonderful podcast you and the sister Lisa had done, and I was like, man. You know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was excited. I was like, man, what am I doing with my life?
I'm glad that you mentioned that broadcast. I'm partnering with one of my dear friends, and we have an actual course that's coming out called The Spirit of Business, and we do a broadcast every Sunday, just live on Facebook, called The Spirit of Business. And so, you know, we like to everything that I do is always, you know, looking at the spiritual side of things from a very practical standpoint. So
that's right.
Just wanted to let your listeners know that was out there.
So we always begin with an intro, and you kind of like snuck in there with a little bit of the intro already, you know. So you could take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to our listening audience here.
Oh, okay. Well, first to the listeners, thank you guys for being here. For those catching it on the replay, my name is Rabe, and I am the Trill Alchemist. I am a master energy healer. I also practice a form of hypnotherapy, but everything that I do is about bringing true transformation to real people. So I heal the real, and I just feel that we are all here on purpose and to create the next wave. And my job is to help assist in that birthing process.
Hmm. Right. The human coder is in the building, you know? The human coder is in the building. She says she's so anti-fluff, she don't even use dryer sheets. Boom, what am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't do fluff healing over here at all. Mm.
That's what's up. How did you, you know, get started? Let's start with your spiritual journey. There's always a story within the story, and I'm always interested in the story within the story. You know, folks might see the equal sign and not, you know, think any part to the equation. You see what I'm saying? There's a story for the equation as well as the answer. So, how did you get started? What was your path to spiritual development / enlightenment?
My path was, let's see, how do I put it? So from a spiritual standpoint, this is definitely not where I started or where I thought I would ever be. I grew up, you know, in a very traditional family. You know, we was in the church, and this was never anything that anybody could ever even consider doing. And so as I, you know, grew up, I was always very independent. I'm a Leo. I got like 5 planets in Leo. So when I could strike out on my own, I struck out. And, you know, I went to college. My background is in chemical engineering. I always lived for and did things for the expectations of other people. And you know, that just kind of molded me. But as I turned 29, okay, things started opening up for me. And so when my Saturn return came about, I just started, things just really got really shaken. You know, like a Saturn return comes in and it's like that asteroid that comes and sits you down so you can really, really find yourself. And mine came with, you know, me, shoot, like I had everything on paper, I had the job, you know, everything looked good. I had my son, but I ended up encountering, you know, just a heartbreak that took me into a dark night of the soul, that led me into another heartbreak, that led me to make a decision to terminate a pregnancy on my 30th birthday. And I was just slipping away from myself further and further and further and further. But it was like a healing crisis. And so at the bottom of that, when I started looking for answers, you know, I started searching. I started calling psychics. I started getting tarot readings. I started going into astrology. I do a lot of these things that we find ourselves doing now as we search for answers, and it all brought me back to me. And, you know, just in that process, I was introduced to energy healing just through a book that I read. And, you know, it was a series of just divine synchronicities that led me back to something that I've done my, you know, my entire existence, every time I come, you know, this is just the nature of my soul. So that's it. Yeah. And, you know, now for me, spirituality is, I realize I have medicine. I call it my medicine. I have medicine all over the world in all different cultures, you know, there's something for me everywhere, and I just pick up what's for me and use that, put it in my toolbox, and leave the rest.
That's wonderful. That is a wonderful journey, and, you know, a very profound perspective when life happens and there's a challenge that is issued. A lot of people, you know, crumble under the weight of that pressure. So to hear that reflection on the part of your journey to come back from it, you know, almost like the phoenix rising from the ashes, it's a remarkable story. Remarkable. Mm-hmm. And I think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, I feel that we all encounter those opportunities, and that's really what we're all here for. And, you know, the topic of the show is why is healing so important? And I feel that we're all brought to those points so that we can do the work, because the salvation is in the healing. You talk about, you know, personal salvation, not just personal, but, you know, you have a revolutionary-minded audience, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, salvation of the individual and the collective is in the healing.
That's right. I mean, many people come through these doors here. You see what I'm saying? So the goal is revolutionary, but it has different meanings to different people. So, you know, facilitating and giving them a platform of expression, non-judgmental, you know, has yielded very solid relationships with, you know, brothers and sisters from different walks of life, you know. So I give them and make them the focal point of, you know, our exchange. So based off of that, it's very rare in this society where you actually even want to hear what anybody has to say outside of yourself. You see what I'm saying? So giving them that opportunity, non-egotistical, non-judgmental, non-like, I can't believe you believe that. You understand what I'm saying? Because someone else needs that message. So it's just a conduit for it to continue to flow. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people come here, and we have no good relationships based off of a respect factor that is there and that's established. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I keep my thoughts and opinions to myself, you know. I keep mine to myself, you know. So if folks want to know, you know, my real perspective on a lot of things, they must have had heard me speak somewhere or been on someone else's broadcast. Here is kind of like what I was saying about that safe space. But if they wanted to hear me speak on something, they could come up to Dallas. What is it? May the 4th, you know? May the 4th, they could come out there, Japan-African Connections, you know what I'm saying? Come see myself. Sister Rabe gonna be in the building. Tahir RBG gonna be in the building. Damani True and KT the Arts Degree. We've got this whole, see if we can get some true alchemy going on up there in regards to how we see ourselves and becoming that best part of you. So that theme is becoming unbreakable in 2019. So that has many different facets there, you know, health, wellness, connections, you know, reestablishing connections ancestrally and all of these things. You see what I'm saying? So there are a myriad of things and gifts and talents and skills that we possess. So we bring those all together for the benefit of our people to become, you know, like Sister Rabe says, transformative. So it's going to be a transformational type of situation, unlike many of the other places that we've been. You know, oftentimes you just go somewhere, somebody yaps, and then after, it's over. You see what I'm saying? So you don't leave any more edified than when you first came here. So this is action-oriented, you know, based type of communication with which after you're done, you immediately have some action steps, you know, some application to go along, you know, with the great message, you know. So it's like you might get some feel good type of vibes, but after that feel good type of vibe, you have next steps in place. So, you know, that's kind of like the modality. And when I heard you speak, I was like, it's got to come through
me.
Give us a little time, son, you know.
That's true alchemy all day. That's true alchemy all day. Like, we don't just talk it. And I feel like people are really tired of that. I mean, I don't just feel it. I know it because I see it so much in the people that come to me and that are drawn to this work. It's only the real that's showing up, and it's not. And these are the people that are really ready to take accountability. Like, not just, you know, in a material sense, but when you talk about taking accountability, it really is on a soul level. And I love that you talk about, you know, venerating and building and working with the ancestors. I work with them so much, okay? What I do is called, like, psychic surgery. I'm the best psychic surgeon there is. And when I do this work, the ancestors come through. And so many times the message is, we are tired of y'all putting everything on us, okay?
Mm.
And they're like, you guys need to understand that you consciously chose to incarnate in this time and space with this access to this level of knowledge and with these particular set of conditions that a lot of us get so stuck in as looking at as setbacks, right? You know, when we start to awaken to what's going on, we get caught up in the so-called reality of how this is being presented to us, and we miss the opportunity for what we really came here for. And so a lot of the messages I get from the ancestors are like, you are the avatar. You chose to come here as the avatar in this moment, okay? Not for us to help you so much because we need you to do some spiritual work. We need you to do some healing so that you can free some of these generational curses and ancestral ties that you were born into that's holding us here. We need you to do the work on yourself and understand how it impacts and how it frees us. So we always turning and calling on the ancestors for their help. They looking at us like, hey, you got the juice.
It's a relationship.
Absolutely.
It's there. We're working with each other, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
we had some conversations, like, you know, like that. I'm like, hey, you know, y'all want this? I want this, You understand? Let's get this together. You understand what I'm saying? Like, y'all need this. I'm going to do this. I need you to do
right.
this. You see what I'm saying? So it's
right.
like, all right. Yeah, together.
And they're like, don't let your offering just be on that plate that you put on that altar. Your offering is your life.
Life, right.
You are the sacrifice, man. Come on, do this
right.
for us. So that's why this healing is necessary.
That's right. So I guess we could switch gears into, you know, this business aspect that we just danced around a little bit to segue into
okay.
that. How did you get started? What was that process like? If you could share with us some of those stories on, you know, how you got into this particular facet of healing for you and, you know, all
oh.
of these things.
Yeah, so I told you about how I was the Saturn return, and as I was coming out of this process, I started reading. I read a book that was called Oneness. And this book, you know how you find, like, everybody has their one go-to thing, that's that one thing that pulled you up out of something, whether it was whatever the knowledge was, you have your go-to. So this book is the one that resonated with me the deepest. And in this book, she said that once you have healed yourself, you have an opportunity to offer healing to somebody else. Consider energy healing. And I had never heard of energy healing, didn't know what it was. As soon as my plane landed that day, I Googled energy healing Texas, and this school came up that said it was called Lionheart, and it had a purple lion head. And I'm a Leo, and my favorite color was purple, and I felt like, you know, it was for me. And so, you know, I called them, and they said, hey, we're starting a new class on next weekend if you can get down here. So, you know, I did take a very formal route with the training. And when I went to this first class, though, you know, it was just, I was the only student that showed up that particular day. And it was just me and the teacher. So I got to try some things, and when they kind of guided me on what to do, the energy came quickly. I could immediately, it was like a switch was just turned on, and I had this remembrance of what I had always done, like I said, from lifetime to lifetime. And so from there, when I came back, you know, I was still studying, but the first part of the process, like the first 2 years of that process, I was doing work for myself. I was healing myself. There was so much that I had to unpack, my own stuff, before I could even be a conduit for this kind of energy. And so I devoted a lot of time and energy to that, and money and resources. And then once I got to a point where I felt that my vessel was, you know, had the capacity to hold this level of light, I started offering my services to people here in the community. Baba Amin, Temple of New African Unity, they were my first clients. And I would, I said, anybody, and I worked for about a year for free, you know. And from then I started charging a little bit, and the word of mouth grew. And now anybody here in the Metroplex knows, you know, this is the place to come to. But, you know, it's so important. We talk about this on the Spirit of Business show about how you have such a period where your seed looks like it's not bearing any fruit, you know. And a lot of people want this instant payback, this instant reward. And, you know, I just want to reiterate, I worked for free for a long time. And even now I give a lot of work away. But, yeah, that's how this became my livelihood.
So what has been some of your experiences? Like, when was like one of those moments where you like, okay, this is it. This is that aha moment. You know, the aha moment. And what was one of those days where? Well, I guess I asked that after.
Okay, I've had several. Like, I've had some. Whoa, did that just happen moments. They were bigger than aha's. So the work that I do, the work that I do can be done either in person or long distance. And I think the first time I had one of those moments, I had a sister who was in Dallas who had scheduled an appointment to come see me. She was supposed to come on Sunday, and she called me that Wednesday and said, I just got rushed to the hospital. She had been sick before a day in her life. She's young, in her 30s. She said, I got this mystery heart illness. They don't know what's going on. She stayed in the hospital all that week. They couldn't figure out what was going on with her. And she called me. She said, I can't, of course, make my appointment on Sunday, and they're going to operate on me next Tuesday to try to find out what's wrong with me. And so I said, you know what? We're going to still do your appointment. So I did a long-distance session on her. She was in the hospital, you know, in the next city. I worked on her at home. When I worked on her heart, I could see that there was a literal spiritual entity that had attached to her heart through this connection that she held with this abusive relationship that she was in. And I did the work and removed that and cleared her up, charged her up, repaired all her chakras, especially the heart chakra, did a lot of work. And I told her, I said, hey, I just did some work on you. You know, let me know how things go. And so she called me the next day, and I wasn't expecting this. And she called me that next evening. She said, Rye, you're not going to believe this. They came in here this morning to get me to come do my pre-op testing. And when they took me to get evaluated, they couldn't find anything wrong. And I'm going home on Thursday instead of having surgery on Tuesday. And I've had several instances like that. You know, it's not always as dramatic as that. Some things are very subtle, but, man, to see the transformation. So, yeah, that was a big aha wow moment. I've had a few of those, or people have come out of comas. I recently had a client that I worked on long distance. They told her she couldn't walk. I did some work called high angel magic on her, which is a different form of magic. You know, we got a lot of people say they practice their magic, but I work with the high order angels. And this lady, on Monday when I worked on her, she couldn't feel her legs, and she called me that Wednesday and sent me a video, and she was like, I just walked 87 feet with a walker. And and then they sent her home within 2 weeks, and they had told her she was never going to walk again. I went to visit her 2 weeks ago, and she's doing great. She's like not even using a walker now. She's doing great. So, you know, I always say that anybody can do this work. It's really about how much of God you allow to work through you is really what it comes down to. Yeah.
So you said long distance. So somebody don't got to come see you to see you.
Oh, no. Not at all.
That
the, is the deep energy, right there. Well, the energy is not 3D, so it's not subject to space and time. It's a 5D energy, so there's no bounds, no limitations of dimension like that, of time-space dimension. So, yeah, I do long-distance work a lot. But
so
if you want to come see me, you most definitely can, yeah.
So for the family out there listening, I said that again to reemphasize, you know, I need to get a hold of my sister, Rob. Hey, where are you at? All over the planet. Everywhere.
Everywhere. TrillAlchemy.com. TrillAlchemy.com. Hit me up.
Right. Most definitely. I mean, that's remarkable right there. Did you ever have... I know you spoke about the challenge earlier, you know, that led you here, but during this process, you know, going into business for yourself, trying to establish yourself, did you ever have a moment to where you're like, maybe I made a wrong decision and you started to regress? And if you did, how did you come out of that? You know, what was, you know, that experience like? You laughed, so you're like, you won't get out my cue cards over here.
And I'm laughing because I'm not that far from it. You know, I did this work as a side deal while I still did my engineering thing for about 9 years. You know, I just did it on the weekends and in the evenings. And it wasn't until last year that I actually left corporate America. So I am, you know, like fresh out of, not even fresh out, I'm saying I'm still growing through that transition. And, you know, I've had entire seasons where what people have to understand, when you go from the mindset and the energy and the vibration of all I got to do is go to work, even if your job is challenging, but you still know that there is a check coming with some regularity, right, it's a completely different energy that you have to embody, not just embrace, but embody, to be able to stand on your own and say, everything that I eat, I create. That's different. Like, there is no plan B, right? So I had an entire season where I was challenged through that growth process. It was multiple seasons, you know, of really, number one, the number one attribute that, that spirit works on and cultivating in you is your faith. And it's not your faith in anything outside of yourself. It's your faith in your own creative abilities. It's your faith in the God power inside of you. And until you face that face to face and look it in the eye and allow yourself to be vulnerable to falling and to allow yourself to even fall and to let that and God and the universe and your spiritual team catch you and show you just how abundant you are as a creator. But until you can really test yourself in that area, you know, yeah, I think that that's the difference between those who make it and those who don't. I had a many days when I wanted to turn back. I wanted to turn back. I, you know, instead of working on what I needed to be working on, I'm over here looking at jobs. And it was so funny because, you know, like I never had a problem getting a job before. And as soon as I set my mind and said I'm following my destiny, God would not let me get a job to save my life.
That's right.
I mean, like, to save my life. They like, no, you committed to this. We're going to ride it out. So,
right.
So how to come out of that now, this is where you have to really start to practice your alchemy, okay? Alchemy is every day. And so you have to start understanding the power of your mind, understanding the power of your vibration, and you have to become very disciplined in how you source the energy that you're feeding to it and how you are synthesizing that energy and what you're putting back out there. I'm talking about minute by minute by minute. And so it's a mind game completely, completely. So much of it is your mind. And that's why healing is important, though. Back to the topic of the show.
Right.
Yes, sir.
So you gave us, you know, two stories. What has been I know you can't get into no specifics about any particular person, but where are we as a people in regards to your perspective with people that are coming to see you? You know, you touched on, you know, the ancestors coming to you and saying, yeah, tell them to get their ish together, you know what I'm saying, on one side.
Mm-hmm.
So what are, you know, some of the things that are befalling us as a people from your observation based on these people coming in or contacting you with various, you know, situations, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a great question. And let me preface some of those examples with some background information. So everything that we experience has an energetic root cause, whether that is a brand new car or a diagnosis of cancer, right? And
right.
So that is the nature of, that's the realm that I deal in. And so people literally come to me for just about anything. But as a people, the reason this is so important, you know, we talk about creating this next wave. And you have to understand that the potential of whatever we're going to create, whether that's as an individual or as a collective, is only as great as the vibration that we can hold. It's only as great as what we believe for ourselves. So I work with people on two levels. I work with them in the energy, with their energy bodies, and I work with them subconsciously through hypnosis, because it's a belief and it's an energetic that go together. So we talk about what we can create, and I see some of the biggest things that are holding us back. Number one is fear, okay? I see this as we come out of, as we gain a little bit of consciousness. You know, like I feel like one of the first things you experience when you step into so-called consciousness is that anger. You know, you figure out everything that's been told to you is a lie. The God that you once turned to is a lie. Everything, you're waking up and seeing the truth behind politics and what's going on, and you become angry. And what we have to understand as a people is that anger literally is a fear that you don't know how to articulate. And so it boils up inside of you as anger. And so a lot of us get stuck there, and we can't do anything past that because we're stuck in hate. We're stuck at looking at somebody as an enemy. We're stuck at seeing ourselves as a victim. Well, how are you going to create a new wave of something great? How are you going to do something beyond what you're studying that the greats of antiquity did, what the Egyptians did? We want to get stuck in history, but that's not what you're here for. You know, I feel like a lot of the times it's easier for us to glorify history because it takes the accountability off of us in the present. So that's one of the first things that I see a lot. I see it more so with the brothers than I do with the sisters. I'm not going to even separate it. I see that's one of the big issues. The second biggest issue that I see is relationships. We don't know how to relate to one another. We're both sides are carrying enormous amounts of pain that has never had a place to be witnessed. It's never been okay for us to go to somebody and cry. We've never had that. White people have that. White people know how to go get therapy. White women see themselves being rescued as heroes in movies, in Hollywood every day. So they're okay with unloading and being vulnerable. We don't have that on either side. And right. So it makes us unable to relate to one another as man and woman, as husband and wife, as king and queen. That's the second biggest issue. I'd say the hardening of our women. Our women are hard, and that's a side effect of that not being able to show emotion, and that ends up spilling over into womb and fertility issues. Okay? I would say for the men, a lot of men that come to me feel like they don't have a voice, and it's hard for them to admit that. I get this more so from the brothers that are actually in corporate America. And it's a lot of them that feel like, you know, they have to show up and be somebody else every day, sound like somebody else, dress like somebody else. And when it's time for them to speak up, it's like they don't really – They're so out of touch with their own authenticity that it's hard for them to do that. Sexual abuse and trauma. Any of the diseases that are typically associated with our community all have an energetic root cause. And I'd have to say the last thing, and one that we really need to work on, is our raggedy abundance model. We carry a lot of abundance trauma from how we were raised in lack and scarcity. And if we're going to ever create this new world, if we're going to ever revolutionize like we say we want to do, we got to heal that. Revolution, you got to have money. We got to have enterprise. We got to have institutions, you know? So those are the big ones. I think that's a lot, though. I should be way busier than I am. I can tell you that.
Right. Yeah, I know I got to get me some work done, so I don't know if I got to wait until I see you to see you, but I'm pretty sure I need to get myself together here, you know.
We're gonna do yours in person when you come down here. How about that?
I think that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah. Get the squad together and be like, hey, look, all of us, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Gotta get it together. So that way we can, you know, because who heals the healer? So I guess that's a question for you. Is there a support system that you have? You don't have to name. I'm saying, is there a healing community for the healers? Is that necessary or whatever the case may be for those of us who are the healers, you know, who are the practitioners, mm-hmm. who are the priests, the priestess, and wherever, where do they go? Who's there for the healers? I know my mother dealt with the science of iridology and healing. I'll send you mm-hmm. a portion of her video. But if it wasn't me for her, there wasn't many people for her to actually, mm-hmm. you know, be her doctor. You understand what I'm saying? Like, she used to see clients, and after the clients would leave, she would talk to me about what's going on, and I'd be asking questions and stuff, and I'm just looking. I'm like, they look regular. They got all that going on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but she was there, and she used to have that, you know, while I was home, you know. But, you know, as, you know, life goes on. I was in the military for 17 years. I was in war for 5. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't mm-hmm. there on a daily basis with her, and everybody else just came, like, you know, folks come to take. They come, they bring their family members. They come, they bring their loved ones, and they're expecting you in the healing modality to, you know, not have any issues. You see what I'm saying? Because you're
mm-hmm.
the healer, you know. How does the healer get sick? Or how you say you don't feel like doing something, or you might be going through some things, but you don't want to be bothered. You see what I'm saying? But everyone sees you in this certain kind of way. So I guess it might be a twofold question. How do you deal with that? And also for that first question that I asked in regards to where do the healers go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, those are great questions. Let me tell you, it can be very lonely as a healer, because there is a huge part of you that does feel, you know, an obligation to help everybody that comes to you. You know, I'm grateful because the kind of work that I do, you know, I've kind of been trained in a way to where the energy is sustainable, so it doesn't take as much out of me as it could, as I know some, as it does some other people. But you do get lonely, and sometimes, you know, one of the things that I've found that I have to be careful of is that as a healer, you don't get so distracted by everybody else's stuff that you fail to tend to your own. And so to answer the second part of your question, you know, there's very few people that I can that I feel like I can go to for work. The ones that I do use are actually some of the people who taught me this particular skill set. And some of those people are outside of the community. You know, they don't look like me. They're elders, you know, natives. One is a white lady, you know, and I had to get over that because I had to recognize that what was for me was for me. But besides those elders, I go to plant medicine a lot, you know. We call her the great grandmother, ayahuasca. She's an incredible healer. And I have a brother that's a shaman who assists in that process. He comes from Hawaii, and, you know, we do ceremony together. And so I turn to the great grandmother as my healer. And then beyond that, you know, I work in the realm of the angels. And so I've learned how to literally, I will get on my healing table and I will call down the angels and just let them work on me on my table, you know? So we got to, you know, I think it's time that we really open up to the vast level of resources and assistance that's out there in the terms of, you know, outside of the community, in terms of the plant medicine, and in terms of the galactic and the angelic realm. There's a lot that we're not tapping into.
Okay. Excellent answers. I mean, it's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of people, you know, with a lot of things going on. But, you know, the smaller your niche market, the smaller your ability to have access, you know, with folks that are trustworthy enough, you see what I'm saying, to keep, you know, some of the things you might be dealing with to themselves. So I could see the need in some cases to go outside of the normal modality, you see what I'm saying, to, in order to get some things done, you got to go where you got to go, you know. So
you got to go where you got to go.
I didn't know. Salute you for having enough wisdom to do and not suffering it to pass just because, you know. Yeah.
Hey, so, my healers are all over the world. I got my Babalawo. You know, I was initiated in Nigeria. I went to Brazil to train with John of God for a little bit of time. You know, it's my medicine is everywhere. So we gotta open up. You know, your soul is so unlimited in terms of its experience and its knowledge. Like we box ourselves in when we pay so much attention to these vehicles that we chose to show up in this time, you know?
Right.
Mhm.
So yeah, something else I wanted to ask you. And it just escaped me. I'm trying to get it back together.
It'll come back.
I guess I could ask something in the interim. How does one get started on this journey in regards to, you know, you made reference to, you know, anybody can do this work. So how does one get started in this work, and has it gotten any people started, any young people or anything like that that you ever think about teaching young people these particular skills and things like that? Well, I'm trying to get my mind together for what I wanted to ask.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect question. So I want to answer that completely. So how you get started, you know, I told you that the first part of my process was a healing crisis, and I had to heal myself before I could heal anybody else. So I always say, before I even take on students, and I do teach, but before I even take on students, they have to be doing some of this work on themselves. So first I say, go get some work done. Okay, so that you can start to unpack your vessel and get rid of some of the density that's holding you back. Because in order to do this work, you have to put so much of the ego aside, right? Just to even be able to hear and to be able to witness at the level of with the clarity and, you know, a level of awareness, you got to let a lot of that density go. So the first thing is to get work done on yourself, whether that's energy work. You know, you can start with Reiki. I say, you know, if you can find something more advanced than Reiki, come see me, Trill Alchemy, give me a call. But that's the first step. As you're learning, you know, the process to actually do this is so simple that when I do teach this, I teach it like over the course of a year in an apprenticeship. And literally after that first class, we'll meet for 3 hours one day. And at the end of that class, everybody can do this at a very base level. I teach them, you can go walk away and start healing people today. But the things that you have to cultivate, and these are things that you can begin to cultivate now. Number one is your intuition. You have to really learn how to listen to that voice, because everything that I know how to, you know, when I'm working on somebody, my hands are not even hardly touching their bodies, but I'm sensing intuitively where they have blockages in their body. I'm sensing where a chakra has a hole in it, and I can feel it in my body. And so you have to be able to start fine-tuning your intuition to a really, really heightened sense. Meditation, you know, it gets talked about as, you know, and people kind of gloss over it, but that's really where you do that. And then answer your question about teaching the children, I love that you asked me that, because when Baba Amin had the Uhuru Academy here, I think I told you my son was one of his early students. But
right.
I used to teach a course there called Young and Limitless. And this class was all about how to use your mind and your energy to create. And so we would do all of these experiments. You know, I taught them how to read pendulums, and we would do the experiment where we talked to the water. One group would speak negatively to the water for 2 weeks and see what grew in their water, and the other group would speak positively. And we did energy experiments, and I mean, I had so much fun, and that's something that I am going to be offering to the broader audience. Hopefully this year, Bob has been on me to get that out. The curriculum's all done. I just need to put it out on the Internet. So, yes, it is important to start teaching this to your children as early as possible, because that's when their minds are the most malleable. That's when they have their highest potential for genius IQ is when they're 4 years old. And as they start matriculating through this school system, their genius begins to get dumbed down and their ability to manifest gets dulled. So if you can start teaching them how to utilize their mind to create and how to heal. When my son was 5, I used to teach him how to give energy. He used to give healings to the plants, all the plants in the house. And he would be so, he would love it, because he could put his hands up next to him and give him energy, and he could watch the leaves start to shake. And then he'd pull his hands back and the leaves would stop. They need to know their magic and be in tune with their magic as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That is wonderful. I know I saw that one of them slogans, you said a real soccer mom, and I heard you speak about your son, and I have 4 children, so whenever I get to hear about children, it kind of touches my heart. So I wanted to just see if you can share a little bit about that young warrior, that young leader right there out there making it happen on the soccer field.
Man, my son is so dope, y'all. Let me just tell you. So my son is 13. His name is Adolfo. That name was actually given to him at the Uhuru Academy. Shout out to the Uhuru Academy, okay? Because when you talk about people really committed to changing and creating the next wave, Baba Me and Nkoyo, the work that they do with these kids is remarkable. But so my son plays soccer, and he plays now on a team that's a nationally ranked team. And he's, one of the top players on the team. He's only 13, and he's already getting recruited by college coaches, and he's just really, really growing into an exceptional young man. But, I just like to talk about how I use this work on him, because he was in a position where he was on a team with a coach that was doing everything in his power to tear him down. Like, he saw my son's potential, but he would put him on the bench, not give him any play time. He made one mistake, he gonna pull him out. And over the course of that season, my son's confidence just dwindled almost to nothing. And when I pulled him from that team, I said, before I put him on another team, we're gonna do some work on his mind. And I would do this hypnosis work with him every weekend. Okay, I recorded a hypnosis for him, and I would have him listen to it at nighttime. And we called it Soccer God, right? And in this hypnosis, he would see himself performing at his top performance. doing all these, you know, I built in all these different skills that he needed to demonstrate and describe him doing it. Just, and over the course of less than a season, he went from being this, like, dejected, just torn down little boy to being the top player on the team. And I see that as we continue to reinforce it through the subconscious mind work, he gets better and better and better. He's outpacing these other children. And I love when we get the correspondence and it shows back up, because he listened to this recording of himself being called a soccer god. And he's small, but he would go play against these high school students, and they started calling him Zeus. He, you know, like the Greek god, you know, they didn't like boys, so they were calling him Zeus. But he, like, they... that energy, he was holding that vibration so strong that they had to respond with a name to match his vibration. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
That's how you prepare your kids for greatness. You go to their subconscious.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I hate to hear stories like that in regarding the coaches. I coached youth sports, well, just youth basketball. A little bit of soccer. I coached like twice. I don't have no skills yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no skills yet. And it takes a particular type of skill to get people to move a certain kind of way. Some things you know and some things you don't in regards to, you know, the game. Like, with basketball, ever since I was a child, like, I love playing the game, basketball, football. But I fell in love with the game after I learned how the game is played, like the science to the game, you know. So I was coaching since 2001, coaching basketball. So whether it was old men or 5-year-olds, you know, it's the same mentality on the basketball court. So whether you got somebody that's in their 30s, their 20s, their 40s, their 50s or whatever, or whether they're 5 years old, they've got the same type of mindset on the basketball court. So, you know, getting those different age groups of children, because they're all children on the basketball court, to work together as from individuality to a team concept, you know, you get a chance to see that. And especially with the type of, you know, sets in regards to defense and, you know, formation and depending on one another to look out for each other on the soccer field, the last thing you need is someone that, you know, can't keep you focused enough in the game, because this is what the coach's mind frame is. You see what I'm saying? He's not out there on the field. But if they have a shared vision in regards to what they want to see happen, that's a whole other experience out there. You know, your job is to refocus. You know, if you call the timeout, you know, when I called the timeout and I saw one player looking at the score, I'm like, hey, you want to sit down? Don't look at the score. What's going on out there? Like, get the mind back together. Who are you out there playing for? To remind them that they're out there playing for each other. Stop looking in the audience at your mother. You see what I'm saying? Like, nah.
Yeah.
I need you focused on the field. I need you focused on, you know, the man or the person in front of you. I need you focused on your team. You're out here for your team. So, you know, that kind of mind frame in regards to getting them and keeping them focused. You see what I'm saying? It's a little unfortunate to have, you know, coaches that they get a little crazy out there over nothing, and, you know, they forget the reason why they're out there. You know, these are still children. It's still supposed to be fun. It's still supposed to be a learning experience. You know, all of those things. You see, and they come together, you know, naturally. You know, your job is to get them to come together naturally and organically and not force them to come together, you know. So when you see them begin to blossom, and you see, you know, that child that had all those reservations at the beginning, you know, grow into, you know, a better player. And you see what I'm saying? Like, all of these things matter. Mm-hmm. These are the things that are most important, because these are life skills, you know. You're working with together on the team and understanding that your contributions matter to the overall success or the detriment of the team. No, these are all life skills that you need, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Went on a little tangent just now.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I take that soccer. See, my son is to the point now where he literally tells me, like, can you just sit in the car? Like, I don't even want you on the sideline. I posted a couple of weeks ago. I almost got in a soccer mom fight, and it was real. Like
right.
I need to stay in the car.
That is right. I mean, that's there. You know. I mean,
yeah.
Just think about the opposite, though. What kind of effect it would have if he was such an amazing soccer player, and you were nowhere there. You would never know. You see what I'm saying? So you're there matching this intensity and passion and his ferocity for him to be out there on the side. You're like, nah, I'm with him. This is my baby out here. You better get me. that's a beautiful thing. You see what I'm saying? It's not a situation to where, you know, you're trying to relive glory days. You know, those also kill the children when their parents, well, I played in college and all that. I'm like, oh, okay. They're going to be yelling at them. Keeping them, you know, taking them out of the focus of the game that's going on and everything that's in front of them. Because, you know, I call the timeout. Here comes the parents trying to talk. I'm like, look, y'all go sit down. You understand what I'm saying? You got to keep them focused over there on, you know, what's going on. So, you know, they become the referee. They become the coach. They become the extra person that's on the court and all this other stuff. So you got to, you know, deal with that and a professional kind of manner, you know, and keep the children focused.
I figured that out, though. I figured out what causes that. And I only figured it out when my son went through this experience with that coach, and he was getting torn down, and he was sitting on the bench. And I had to be real with how much it was hurting me on the inside. And I'm like, why is this hurting me so much? Because it was speaking to my own issues and my own fears of failure and my own issues with being judged and all of these other things. So those parents that, you know, are barking down their son's neck now you know, fussing with the coach and all of that, they got their own emotions that's being triggered that they need to heal. So I was grateful for that experience because I got to do some serious work on myself as I brought my son back to where he needed to be.
It's a lesson for everybody, you know. It's a lesson for everybody.
Absolutely.
All right, so I got to talk some business stuff. You have to. Got to talk some business stuff, you know. For the folks out there that's looking to get some consultations, what kind of action steps, what kind of stuff you got going on, what you got coming up, you know, where can people find you? How can people just support you if they hear this broadcast and they just want to support you? Let's go through, you know, some of those things so, you know, the folks can, you know, govern themselves accordingly, so to speak.
All right. If you would like to get in touch with me or would like to learn more about my services, the best place to start would be my website, which is trillalchemy.com, TRILLALCHEMY.com. And from there, if you go to book a session, you can actually book a free 15-minute consultation with me over the phone. We can talk about what's going on with you, what you want to change, where you want to be next year, and we can talk about how I can assist you with that, and that's absolutely free. There's also a free the name of it is escaping me right now, but there's a free download on my website. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that I can't even think. It's a 7-day challenge. It's the Get Coded Challenge. And so if you even want to start doing some of this work on your own, it's an easy 7-day challenge that you can – it walks you through kind of unpacking each chakra by chakra, okay? And that's absolutely free on the site as well. Coming up, I have the Spirit of Business course that is already in pre-sale and pre-registration. It's actually going to launch next week. That can be found at spiritofbusinesscourse.com. This is a course that I'm hosting with Lisa Puerto. She's the LA super agent, and we put this course together for the entrepreneur that is really ready to bring a new level of authenticity to their business. And so we see a lot of people that are doing amateur things because they are trending. And the course is divided into two parts. The first half of the course, I'm preparing your spirit for big business. So we are uncovering some of these blockages that are keeping you from really bringing your true self to your business. And then Lisa comes back with some of the more tactical things on the steps that you need to take to get your business out there. So that's spiritofbusinesscourse.com. Beyond that, I am Trill Alchemy on Instagram. I am still Raw Healing Arts on Facebook, and you can get at me in either one of those inboxes. And then if you are here or going to be in Dallas, the date of your event, brother, what's that?
May 4th, yes.
And what's the title? What's the name of it?
Becoming Unbreakable in 2019.
Becoming Unbreakable in 2019. I will be there for that. I would love to meet you face to face. Yeah, so I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. That's what it is. Make sure y'all go to that amazing website. You know, I found myself just over there fawning, checking, you know, stuff out, listening to, you know, reading these testimonials and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. Amazing to you.
You
know, with so much of the negative stimuli that's out there with our people in regards to some of this, you know, I don't even know if I can say this anymore, because I think, you know, 45 kind of spoiled it. Some of this fake news. You see what I'm saying? Some of this fake news that is out there in regards to our relationship with our people, you see what I'm saying, causing a projection of a negative perception of self and a negative connection to self. You know, it's refreshing to be able to have a space of celebration and facilitate a space of celebration and empowerment amongst our people, that relationship between one another. You know, so when I saw, you know, my sister out there working, and I saw you and Sister Lisa on there, I was like, man, this is amazing. This is something to celebrate. This is something to highlight. This is something to help promote. You know, we're in Black History Month, you know, and I have all of the positive things in the world to say about Black History Month, 1,000%. You see what I'm saying? Loving these gifts that our ancestors left for us, and no one else outside of us gave it to us. So this should be something that we celebrate, something that we, you know, we use as a teaching tool in our family, you know, regardless if you do it 365 or if you only have the opportunity in February, you don't miss it. You don't miss that opportunity. You know, ever since my children were old enough, I went to their schools and gave Black History Month, you know, conversations to their class. If there was no program in the school, working with some people in the school to put our own program together, you know, we've done that as well. You see what I'm saying? So having that opportunity, seeing, you know, someone who looks like you tell you about yourself and not allow it to be decided by big business in the entertainment industry to mind map you and have you painted a certain kind of way and say, this is the only kind of way that you can thrive. This is the only kind of way for you to be successful. So, you know, challenging those delusions, you see what I'm saying? And challenging those, you know, negative stimuli with positive stimuli. You know, they say
absolutely
dirty glass, clean glass. They come with that concept. And I was like, if the glass is dirty, clean it out. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to put the glass, another glass next to it. You see what I'm saying? You can clean that glass out. So you can clean it out. So now it's a clean glass. You see? And you did that work to ensure that it was clean. You see? So you have a connection to it now. You're not just looking at it saying, oh, man, I can't believe they just put that dirty glass out here. Nah. Let's clean it out. You know, let's put some elbow grease in there and clean it out. So now we can see these results. You see what I'm saying? We can see these result-oriented opportunities based off of our merit, our effort. You see what I'm saying? Our work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
You know,
it's our job to create the new narrative.
That's
and,
right.
And so don't get suckered into the narrative that they are feeding you. Put your attention on creating the new narrative.
Are you still doing shows? Y'all still got Trill Alchemy Radio?
Oh, man. You know, I really think I'm going to bring True Alchemy back as a podcast. I'm just trying to get a couple of things cleared off my plate so I can really devote some time to it. But it was a big hit. We had a lot of fun doing that show, myself, Coach Kyer, Ken Brisbane. It was a powerful dynamic of people on that show. So I think we're going to have to bring it back. A lot of people miss it. I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, you know, please keep me posted and let me know how I can help and support. There is a scarcity of Black media out here, you know. So, well, ones that are focused on truly upliftment and not the Blaxploitation that we see out here. You see what I'm saying? A lot of this mm-hmm. stuff, like, you know, people going out of their way to find gossip and, you know, backbiting and, you know, tearing another brother down or another sister down, you know, all of that foolishness that's out there. So, you know, again, you know, taking that glass and cleaning it out, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So definitely let me know how I can help.
I will.
And be of
Thank
service
you.
To you and what you're doing. And all
Thank you. I will definitely money. Will.
All right. So I think I stole enough of your time today.
Oh.
You know, hopefully, as we get closer to this event we got coming up, we can actually get involved in some media runs, you know, over a couple of platforms to, you know, help push the event coming and, you know, set up some interviews and some things like that. I know you're super busy, so hopefully, you know, I can get a few minutes with you on some of these platforms, you know.
Oh,
nobody
you got
say
me
that.
Anytime.
Nobody say it like an African woman. You know, I can come on there and, you know, sound all, you know, whatever and stuff. You know, a sister there, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Sister Raphael, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, doors start to open. You like, folks start looking at the door like, oh, okay, Sister Raphael in the building. You know, that's what it is. So, you know, beautiful opportunity.
Right. I'm happy to serve in whatever capacity. I'm here for you. Just let me know, brother, and I appreciate this opportunity again.
It's
I can't thank
love.
You enough.
It's all love. I think I know your brother.
Who's that?
DJ Black, that's your brother?
No, I'm an only child. I don't have any brothers. Who's DJ Black? Somebody
out
here
looking
like me?
Probably. You know, we all looking like anyway.
No, I don't know DJ Black. Oh, Black Charm? Wait.
Yeah.
That is my, yes, my brother. You know, so if you know Black Charm, you know Kudala then, right?
Uh-uh.
Do you know,
know
you don't know his brother? Okay.
Yeah, I may know him. I may know of him, but I don't know. You know, you don't know who
okay.
you don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, that's cool. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's my brother. It sure is, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all good. Now, thank you. Can you say one more time before we get off air how people can reach you, how people can support you, how, you know, everything that you got going on? One more time, one more commercial from the True Alchemy.
Gladly.
Please.
Gladly. Come to my website, TrillAlchemy.com. I encourage you, schedule just a free phone call with me or get the free download, the Get Coded download. That is TrillAlchemy.com. You can find me on Instagram, at TrillAlchemy. On Facebook, I am still Raw Healing Arts. And please go check out the Spirit of Business mini course. It's at spiritofbusinesscourse.com. We actually have a free teaser video. We got the whole intro section that we're offering for free. You can check it out, get a flavor of what we're offering, and see if it's for you. That's at spiritofbusinesscourse.com. That's it.
All right. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your boldness and creativity and your patience with my bad brain sometimes. You understand what I'm saying?
It's all good. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Have an incredible night.
You too, sis.
Thanks. Peace.
All right. Peace. All right. right, family, we're about to get up out of here. Shout out to my sister, Rob Bay, for coming through. Make sure y'all go to www.trillalchemy.com and show sister some love. Get your healing right. Get your mind right. Get your brain space right. Take a journey in transformation. All right, if you like what you heard, you can subscribe to the show here, www.blogtalkradio.com/DothNotisRadio. That's DothKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at DothNotisRadio.com. Got a couple more interesting shows. Make sure y'all check us out tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on our Liberation Friday episode. Got my brother squad, Boss, with the RBG Boss Mentality, coming to give us a message of empowerment. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure y'all subscribe to his debate league, Schwab Boss Argument League on YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube, Do Knowledge Radio on YouTube. You can follow the show on Twitter, at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter, and also on Instagram. Now let's born a lot 357 on Instagram. And if you are so desirous of becoming a guest on the show, you can email us at dothnowledgeradio@gmail.com. And if you are looking to donate to the show, it's paypal.me/dothnowledgeradio on PayPal, and on Cash App is cashapp.me/$ Now let's born a lot. So again, thanks to my sister Rabe for coming through and showing us that love and healing energy here. And we're gonna get out of here. Saturday we will be on 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our queen Ty Shaw, speaking about esoteric sexual healing. So that's gonna be another interesting show. And on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be giving honor in tribute to our warrior ancestor, Dr. Huey P. Newton, and also celebrating the transition of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So a lot of different shows coming up. Subscribe to the show here. Like and subscribe, follow the show, and get in touch with us. So with that, I say peace, love, black power, and see you tomorrow.
With a fuck ever.
You lost in the